This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statements which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. Christmas is God's incredible promise fulfilled. To the shepherds, God announced that you would find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. And they went right away to find out. And sure enough, they found it just as God described. This is because God always keeps his word. Yeah. Is that right? God keeps his word. He kept his promise. We're here tonight to celebrate the promise of God fulfilled. I love Christmas, don't you? And I love this. This is a pastor's dream. Look at this. You can all slide back now. If you're too close to your neighbor, you can move away. There's something about this night that we celebrate together. It's God's promise that he fulfilled to us. There are many things about Christmas which don't live up to expectations. Expectations run high tonight and tomorrow morning, don't they? And sometime tomorrow morning, presents will be opened all over the place and many expectations will be fulfilled and probably a few won't, right? We didn't quite get exactly what we expected or the promised might not live up to it. But God's promise does not disappoint. What he spoke came to be because he always keeps his word. And he told the shepherds that this is what you would find, and they found it, and they left glorifying God, saying that's exactly what God said. Now, in the last several weeks, you've all been subject to all kinds of advertisements that promise certain things. They promise things about the products that you may have bought for your loved one. I love this time of year because the advertising cranks up so much and there's no possible way that some of those products can deliver what they promise. Am I right? Here are my favorites. How would you like to play the piano in 12 weeks? 12 lessons. Okay, you might want to play it, but no one would want to listen. Okay, you could lose 30 pounds in 3 weeks, 6 inches in 6 weeks, more hair in 2 shampoos. I mean, it goes on. You could pay your mortgage in your 30-year mortgage in 12 years. You can learn a language with 2 CDs. Okay, this makes me want to say to you that I could make you a spiritual giant if you would buy my messages. And this CD with 5 sermons will make you a spiritual giant. Operators are standing by. And it promises everywhere for things. My favorite is the ab lounger. I mean, I wish I had created this. Because I'd love to sit like this in a lounger and develop rock-hard abs. I mean, the promises that are made that don't deliver are everywhere. For things we buy and for the life we expected. And it's that many of our expectations for a great life that didn't quite measure out the way we had hoped leaves us a little bit longing at Christmas. God made a promise that he would send his son into the world, and this promise he kept. He kept to the shepherds. We sing a hymn now that says, "Oh, come, thou long-expected Jesus." And the world was in sin and error pining, our song says. It was waiting and waiting, and would this ever come? And God said, yes, it will. The world waited a long time, but God fulfilled his word and kept his promise. And he sent his son into the world in the fulfillment of his promise that I will send my son to deliver you. And God sent forth out of the glories of heaven his own son all the way down to this manger in the straw, the Son of God, how far he came to reach us. He came for us. And God said he would. And he did. We've learned that the reason that God sent his son into the world was to reveal who God was like, who he is, and how you might know him. Also in the Christmas story, we hear this message that for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And the only ones who need a Savior are those who are lost. So Christ came to save the lost, those who needed to be rescued. For it is he who will save his people from their sins. He came to reveal God and to save us from our sins and to give us a new life. A life that was different. A life that reflects the greatness of who he is. That's why he came. And that's the glorious fulfillment of his promise that we call Christmas together and we celebrate it tonight. It begs a question, though. It begs a question that with so many people in this room now reminded more than any other time that God sent his son for us. It begs the question, how should we respond to him? What should our response be to God who sent his only beloved son into the world as a baby? And then as a man, and then as a Savior who died for us, how should we respond? Well, to do this, let me read a little bit further in Luke chapter 2, where we learn that 8 days after the birth of Jesus, his mother and father take him to the temple, which was common practice. And he was going on the 8th day to be circumcised, according to Jewish law. Which he was, and he was given the name Jesus. And then when the days were accomplished for Mary's purification, which was 40 days after the birth of a baby, according to Jewish law, she had to go and make an offering. And if, according to law, she was wealthy, she was to bring a 1-year-old lamb. Or if she was poor, 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. This is what the scriptures say. When their days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, Mary and Joseph brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As was written in the law, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what the law of the Lord said, a pair of turtle doves or 2 pigeons. We know that Mary and Joseph had nothing. They were poor. Their offering for their son was 2 doves or 2 pigeons. And when they did this, when they made their offering, there was a man in the temple whose name was Simeon. And Simeon, we're told, was a righteous and devout man who was looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that Simeon would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came in the Spirit into the temple on the day that the parents brought the child. And they brought Jesus to Simeon according to the custom of the law, and he took Jesus from them and looked at this baby and said, Now, Lord, you are releasing me to die. Now I can die. He was an old man. Now you are releasing your bond slave to depart in peace according to your word. Because God had told Simeon, you will not die until you see this baby. You know what this underscores one more time? That just as God kept his word to the shepherds, God kept his word to Simeon. And God told him, you will not die until you see Christ. And here is Simeon holding up the Son of God. And he said, now I can go in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. God, you kept your promise to me. I have seen Jesus Christ. And now I can go. God kept his promise. God kept his promise to the shepherds. He kept his promise to Simeon. And I say to you, God will keep his promise to you. And his promise is this, that whoever believes in the Son of God will have life. That begs the question, I said, well, how should we respond this Christmas to this awesome gift of God, indescribable gift? I'd suggest there are three things that would be an appropriate response for all of us. Number one, believe. Believe. I don't mean to say to you, agree with me. I don't mean to say to you that in your mind you say, yeah, I understand those facts. What I mean to say is, I urge you that in response to God's awesome gift of Jesus Christ to you, I urge you with all my heart to believe that God sent his Son into the world, as Jonah sang, for you. And to believe in him much more than you believe in any other Christmas tradition, but you believe that God sent his Son. As the shepherds believed and followed, and as Simeon believed and waited, I urge you to believe in this Son of God. The other thing that happened in this story, of course, is not only that people believed, but they acted on their belief. And that's one of the surest ways to validate whether your belief is more than in your head. It's really in your heart. You act upon it. And in the Christmas story, what is repeated again and again as a response to this gift is the response of worship. Worship. And I would say to you that not only would God want you to believe in Jesus, but to worship him tonight by offering him something of worth. The word worship, which we sing, come and worship, come and worship, is to offer him something of value because he is most valuable. And so we offer him our gifts. Maybe you've brought frankincense and myrrh tonight, or not. Maybe you brought gold. Here's what God wants most. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants your being to say, God, I ascribe to you highest value, and so I give you my life and all that I am to the glory of God. And then I would say that the response God might ask of us is not only to believe and to worship, but to follow him. Simeon said, I have seen Jesus Christ, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Predominant segment of this audience is probably Gentiles, non-Jews. Christ came for all the world, Jews and Gentiles, as a light to guide our steps, to light our path, that we would follow him. Jesus put it this way, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, I urge you with my heart that the best response to Christ this Christmas is to say, Lord Jesus, I follow you. In a few moments, we're going to light candles all over this room. And they will be a beautiful image for us of the light of Christ, which has come into the world to light us at the darkest moment of history. And maybe you're in a dark moment of your own personal history. Maybe you're at a place where you say, I don't know if I could believe this. I say, come and worship. There's a woman in this story whose name is Mary, a virgin. And she is spoken to by Simeon here with this warning. Simeon said to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own heart. I like that the scriptures are honest about that. Because the coming of Christ in the world does not eliminate all suffering yet. And even to Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the midst of the coming of Christ, God gives her a signal that there is intense suffering ahead for you. And your soul will be pierced through to the depths of your being. But your salvation is in this child. And those of us who are parents cannot imagine a greater pain than the unjust suffering of our children and the mistreatment of our kids. And we're vigilant to defend them. And Mary, this mother of Jesus, would one day watch her son be pierced through, and she herself would be pierced through to her heart. Christ did not come to eradicate all of our suffering, but to be hope and joy and peace in the midst of it, which only He can do. God sent His Son. You see, He always keeps His word. I know many of you believe that, and some of you may be here tonight reluctant to believe it. I hope in a fresh way, when you see this candle that you light, you will look at that candle and say, the light of God came into this world to give us hope. And I believe. Jesus Christ came into this world and He came that I would worship Him more than money, stuff, treasure, life, pleasure. It's Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world to light a way for you, to lead you into everlasting life. I hope you will follow Him. God made Him who was rich to be poor for you, so that through His poverty you might be rich. And I pray you'll draw near to Him tonight in worship, and that you'll worship Christ the King. Let's pray together. I pray tonight, our Father, that all over this room, our hearts will be drawn to say to You, You are the God who keeps Your promises. Overcome all of our disappointments, overcome our reluctance to believe, and break through to our hearts tonight, O God, and awaken in us a readiness to believe that You are who You say You are, that You came for what You said You came for, to deliver us and to lead us into life. We believe this about You, Lord Jesus. And we ascribe to You greatest worth and value. And we line up our lives to follow after You with joy and faith, believing that You are the Son of God who loved us and came for us and gave Yourself for us. Lord, our hearts are bowed before You. And we believe this about You. Each of us renew our faith in You today. Lord, we believe. Maybe you just say that to the Lord. Lord, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe You came for me. And I worship You with my life. was into the darkness of the world that you came, Lord Jesus. I ask you to push back the darkness of our life, that we would clearly see and follow you. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen.